Happy Wednesday, Doll fans. I'm your co-host, Doll Freaky, here with my pal Adam Beasley once again on the PFN Miami Dolphins podcast. Welcome to it, guys. We're in the thick of draft prep. The draft is just 3 weeks away now. We're getting excited. How are you today, Adam?
Oh, I'm great. I'm fired up. I'm geared up. Let's get going. Let's break down a bunch of prospects that we really didn't know anything about 2 weeks ago.
Yeah,
we're going to be severe experts in this year's draft class because we have to be, because we had to learn. Yep. I don't know about you, Allie. I don't watch a ton of college football. That's not true. I watch the SEC and I watch, you know, the big Ten games. I probably watch a total of 8 or 9 teams. I watch Syracuse as I went there, but I'm not breaking down like, you know, Mountain West football. It's just, you know, sorry. I got to have some semblance of life in the fall. You know, football season's pretty busy. So I don't know. I didn't know a ton about a lot of these prospects before the cycle began, but that's kind of the life of a beat writer in the National Football League.
Yeah. You know, I'm sure that's the life of the average fan too.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, there is a total subset of consumers of sports content that are total draft nuts, like know these guys inside out, probably going to roll their eyes when we talk about some of these people because they know so much more than us. I apologize. I defer to you. You got me, you know, top 1% of 1% of sports fans. You might know more about some of these prospects than me, but we're going to fake it till we make it, right?
Yeah. I mean, for sure. Like we can go over our basic needs, you know, for the Dolphins and go over a couple guys that we think, you know, are good fits. You know, obviously I'm just a fan. I'm not an analyst. I particularly don't get into college football. You know, my college football watching is pretty much contained to the Miami Hurricanes. So bear with us on this.
I feel bad for you. That's rough.
I know. And I can't even say, it's not like I'm like a super fan of the Canes or anything. And people would be like, oh, you're Canes freaky. No. Like, it's not like that because most Hurricanes games end up being, you know, coinciding with Dolphin game weekends. And I just, for me personally, I cannot do two game days in a row. That's just not going to work for my body or my lifestyle. So it is what it is. I do what I can.
But the good news is here at PFN, we have a very diverse and knowledgeable staff of football writers from all aspects of football, betting, fantasy. Obviously, I cover the National Football League. But we have a really, really good college football and draft department.
Yes.
And Ian Cummings heads that up, kind of a wunderkind that we have. We hired him literally when he was still in college, just a real, real keen eye for draft evaluation. And so a lot of this analysis, we're going to lean heavily on his takes. And, you know, we trust that he's right. I believe he's right. He's a really smart guy. He's one of the up-and-coming stars of draft Twitter, of draft the draft industry. And he's going to be our guide because there's a lot of names. I mean, you talk about the big board that we have for PFN, I think has 300 names. Off the top of my head, I could probably name 20 to 25 of them. So drop in the bucket. But again, we have resources at our disposal to make informed opinions because we do. Like it's really just figuring out what the Dolphins need, who they value, their history of who they value. And kind of putting together the pieces. We hear some whispers too. I know I got a little information here, a little information there. And we try to do the best we can. That's really what anyone does. People who have these strong, convicted takes on the draft, they don't know. Like, they don't know. Go back and look at what the big boards and mock drafts are for every single year. And by pick 6, it's totally garbage. Like, it's really, really hard. But what we can do is talk about trends. Mm-hmm. And we have a pretty good idea of what the Dolphins need. And we have a pretty good idea of players that are going to fall in that range. So without further ado, you want to go through the list of the Dolphins' remaining needs. And that's as of today. We're taping this Wednesday, April 3rd. Just yesterday, they brought back Kendall Lamb as their swing tackle, which big move for them. You know, big move for them. He had been, I think he was their number 4 offensive lineman in terms of snap count, maybe even higher last year. He was the only guy who played all 17 games aside from Lester Cotton on the offensive line. And with, you know, Tron Armstead's age, you know, Austin Jackson's had some injuries in the past. It's good to have a dependable swing tackle as a backup. And Kendall Lamb not only provides them that, but it helps them kind of take one glaring need and maybe not off the table, but move it to the side that it's not so bad.
Sure. So yeah, we know that, you know, offensive tackles are a big need right now. We have to add depth there. Defense, you know, the defensive line, obviously the defense took the biggest hit during free agency, but they did make a lot of additions. But still, I see that there's a, you know, a glaring need as far as defensive tackles go. You know, also we know that we have a need at wide receiver, despite having, you know, our duo, Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle, who are arguably one of the best wide receiver duos in the NFL, you know, we still need to have someone solid to back them up. We did re-sign River Craycraft. We re-signed Braxton Berrios. So that's all good news. But I think we still need, you know, a pretty clutch wide receiver three to add to the depth chart as well.
I think Dolphins' biggest needs certainly remain on the offensive line, but you can kind of, at this point, like, the good news is a lot of these, and we'll get into some of the bigger names, a lot of these guys have the versatility to play both, you know, tackle and guard. And so I think if they draft a guy, and I think they will, either in the first or second rounds, because it's such a good draft for offensive line, what I think they'll do is they'll start them out probably at right guard, and then they'll transition to left tackle. Presumably, whenever it is Armstead retires, it might be after the season or the Dolphins decide to move on. But yeah, I think interior offensive line, number one with a bullet, is still their biggest need. You mentioned defensive tackle. I kind of like what they've done. I don't love it. Certainly, you're not going to replace Christian Wilkins. But they brought in a bunch of guys that fit what I think Anthony Weaver wants to do. They're not going to ask their defensive tackles to make a ton of plays. And they have Zach Sealer, who I think he was a double-digit sack guy last year anyway. But, you know, the Benito Joneses of the world, the defensive tackle, nose tackle that used to be a Dolphin, went to the Lions, now is back with the Dolphins, is kind of more what they've been looking for. And again, the budget dictates that. They don't have a ton. They didn't have a ton of money to spend there. But I'm not overly alarmed about defensive tackle. I think they need another playmaker there. Wide receiver three is crazy because, you know, they could either use a round one pick on wide receiver. There are some options that we can get into, or they can sign one of the best wide receivers of the era in Odell Beckham, or one of the better slot receivers in the league in Tyler Boyd, who the Dolphins also have interest in. So I think kind of a lot of these big names are in a holding pattern because teams, as I said, want to get through the draft. They want to see what their roster looks like before they commit more to a veteran.
So you've heard no new news on Odell's situation.
No, I think he wants more money than the Dolphins are willing to pay at this point. Had a good visit. Mike McDaniel said last week, the owners' meetings, I am ready to coach him. Well, is Odell ready to be coached by Mike McDaniel unless – you know, the money is sufficient. So I think they're going to get through the draft to see what their roster looks like, and then dedicate more resources if they need to a veteran. Boyd is a name that obviously we know he's been one of the more accomplished Bengals receivers in history, to be honest. Certainly, you know, he's not the player he was 5-6 years ago, but still could help them from a slot perspective, number three receiver perspective. They just need one more pro, in my opinion, one more professional that can help them, give them another dynamic across the middle. On defense, I don't think defensive tackle is their only need. They edge / defensive end / outside linebacker, whatever.
Yeah, we lost our boy AVG.
Yep.
How do we replace him?
Well, I know you brought back they brought back Shaq Barrett.
Yep.
They brought in Shaq Barrett, but my sense is they're not done there yet. That they still want at least one more pass rusher. And in the defensive backfield, safety is still kind of like who's their number three safety behind Holland and Poyer. I think that's still a bit of an unknown. Brandon Jones is gone. Deshaun Elliott is gone. So a lot of these familiar names from last year, no longer options. I still think they need a safety as well. And look, Chris Greer is always going to look for cornerbacks. You can never have enough corners. And so he will always continue to look for them. And if there's one that falls that they love, I think even at 21, I don't think you can rule it out. If there's just an absolute beast that they love, cornerback could be a direction they go as well. They're not going to use a first round pick on a safety. There are no first round safeties, but I do think that offensive line, defensive tackle, wide receiver, pass rush, and corner all five of those are on the table at 21. And that's a good position to be in. Like, it's not great that they still have significant questions this far into the process, but it is good that they're not just desperate. I mean, mm-hmm. just that they have to go and get someone. So, no, and the good news is the draft is going to kind of fall in a way that I think they have the 21st pick. It's just the second time ever, by the way, that they're picking 21 in the history of the franchise. I think because of the run there's going to be on quarterbacks, people getting pushed up the board, there's always three or four just off the wall, totally bad value picks in the top 20. I think the Dolphins are going to get certainly a top 20 talent, but maybe even a top 15 talent at the 21st pick. And it's good. And it's good that they position themselves in a way that they can go BPA, best player available. And I think they will.
Okay. Yeah, great. It's definitely tricky with us, you know, drafting so late in the first round. Anything can happen, as we all know. You know, even the days leading up can be crazy. So should we go over some of the draft targets that you think, you know, are potential fits for the Dolphins?
Yeah, let's do that. I put together a list for PFN and going to get into a lot of these guys in greater detail than we can even on this call. But there are, in my opinion, 12 names to watch at 21. And some obviously are more likely than others. Some you assume are going to be gone by the time they pick. And some would probably be a stretch and get them, you know, the draft grades wouldn't be pretty if they picked one of these guys. But again, the Lions got crushed last year for quote unquote overdrafting dudes, and they had the best draft class there is. So sometimes there's going off the board can be good for you, but by and large, you know, the independent analysts out there have a good sense of who's a good player and who's not. So if you stray too far from what the consensus is, you got to get lucky for that pick to hit.
Mm-hmm.
So let's go through, and we can go through, you know, as a group and then individually as well. I think these are the 12 names to watch. Ready?
Mm-hmm.
Brian Thomas, wide receiver out of LSU. JC Latham, tackle out of Alabama. Jared Verse, edge defender out of Florida State. Troy Fatano, tackle out of Washington. Leitu Latu, edge defender out of UCLA. Chop Robinson, edge defender out of Penn State. Byron Murphy, defensive tackle out of Texas. Amarius Mims, offensive tackle out of Georgia. Tyler Guyton, offensive tackle out of Oklahoma. Johnny Newton, defensive tackle out of Illinois. And then two more, interior linemen, Graham Barton of Duke and Jackson Powers Johnson, who is a pure center, the best pure center in the draft, rounds out that group. And again, I think those last couple, I think Barton and JPJ, those are probably day two picks. Maybe someone shoves them up the board. I think those are names to watch if the Dolphins trade back. Keep in mind, Allie, they only have two first two-day picks. They have a first and a second. They lost their third NFL punishment for the tampering scandal a couple years back. And they don't have a fourth either. I have to go and check my notes. But I think that's a result of maybe the Bradley Chubb trade. It's a result of one of the trades that they've made that they lost their fourth. So they're going to go a long time. They're going to go from 55 to like 155 or something crazy between picks. So they got to make them count. It wouldn't at all surprise me if a name that they don't love isn't there at 21, they try to move back, or there's like six guys they really, really like, the draft fell in a way that they can move back four or five spots, still get one of their premium targets, and pick up maybe a third round pick that they lost to the league. So you want to get into this a little bit?
Yeah, let's start with the wide receiver position. We have Brian Thomas Jr. out of LSU.
Yeah, he's 6'4", 205. He declared after his junior year. He's the number one. No, not the number one. He's the number one on the Dolphins' range. Certainly the top end with Marvin Harrison.
Yeah.
And all that. Those guys are the best. But he's the number one reasonable target for the Dolphins. At wide receiver, and he's the 13th overall prospect, according to our big board. Look, he's got the build. He's got the tools, 6'4", 205. That's prototypical numbers. Here's more from Ian Cummings. He's an overbearing size threat with massive catch radius. And that would be good for the Dolphins, right? They don't really have that. So I think he would kind of round out certainly the most talented, maybe the most complete wide receiver, you know, group in the National Football League. I think that would be a real boon for him. if you're looking for for negatives on him, he is still a bit raw, but that's fine because the Dolphins wouldn't need him day one to be a big contributor. They probably only need him to play 25, 30 snaps a game. He's an ascending player. 2023 was his best year. And he has a lot of, in Ian's words, reassuring traits on tape. So I think if you need a guy to go high point the ball, be a big red zone threat, and Dolphins do need that, Brian Thomas is probably the guy. And my guess is he's the only one they're seriously considering at 21. I know Texas has a couple of Mike McDaniel made the trip to the UT Pro Day, has a couple of guys. But I'm guessing if they do take a wide receiver at 21, maybe they move back. As I said, Brian Thomas will be the pick.
Mm-hmm. Okay, cool. So one name that we hear a lot, I personally have heard a lot, is J.C. Latham. I don't know if that has anything to do with the fact that my neighbor next door is like the ultimate Bama fanatic. But we definitely heard some things about J.C. Latham, offensive tackle out of Bama. So tell us a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's the number 4 overall tackle on the PFM big board. He is the 15th player regardless of position. He is a big, big dude. 6'6", 360, just a mauler. Question is how much guard could he play year one? Because he would probably be needed to be their right guard. He'd just be a massive, massive right guard of that size. Let me read you some of the breakdown that Ian has for us. Quote, Latham grades out as a blue chip prospect and top 10 talent. He wrote that earlier in the year, and he still has him as a top 15 talent now. He's worth early first-round capital, especially for teams in need of a natural right tackle with dual side pass and run blocking appeal. He could be the third best tackle in the class because Joe Alt and out of Notre Dame and Ulufushanu out of Penn State are so good. Those are going to be top 10 picks, no doubt. Mm-hmm. But this is such a deep draft that, you know, maybe it's like, what flavor of ice cream do you like? What kind of tackle do you like the best? But, you know, I think if you're looking for someone just to fortify a complete wall on the right side, pairing him and the group they have there, Austin Jackson and company, I think is really, it could be an encouraging combination for the Miami Dolphins.
Cool. So your third guy here, was Jared Verse out of Florida State, edge rusher. How do you feel about that? We have a couple different edge rushers on our list here, but why don't you take us through Jared Verse?
Yeah, no, certainly an in-state guy for the Dolphins. I think what makes him so appealing is he'd be able to play both with hand as dirt and hand, you know, on just 2-point linebacker type of drop back guy. 6'4", 254. He's got the wingspan that you're looking for, long, rangy. Here's the breakdown for me. And versus production at Florida State was no accident. The requisite physical profile was there, but he's also a rangy playmaker in pursuit of capable hand fighter with the motor sustained impact across all three downs. That's, you know, that would really help the Dolphins, who, as we mentioned, still have some questions on the defensive line. And a guy I think absolutely could be available at 21. And as I said, he's the number 18 player, regardless position on the PFN big board.
Okay. So do you want to stick with edge rusher since we have a couple other guys in that category?
Yeah. Why don't we do that? I think if you're the Dolphins, these are the names that you think are reasonable targets at 21.
I'm not going to say this next name because I'm going to butcher it. So I'm going to let you have this one.
you're going to have to forgive me, anyone who is listening, and I do butcher it. But yeah, Jared Verse is certainly near at the top of the list for the Dolphins targets at edge rusher. Latu, I believe is how it is. And if I'm wrong, crush me in the comments. I deserve it for sure.
Listen, no, they can't crush us in the comments because they butcher my name. How hard is Dolph Freaky? I hear Dolphins Freaky. I hear Dolph Reeky. Like, come on, guys. Just give us a break here. We're trying.
Liatu Latu, I believe, is what it is. Liatu Latu. 6'5", 260, redshirt senior. So he's got some experience. 19th overall player on the PFN big board. And here's what Ian said about Latu. He is perhaps the most exciting pass rusher to watch in this year's edge class. Not only is he explosive, twitched up, and insanely flexible for his size, but he also has deadly hand fighting chops. He has a barrage of moves at his disposal, and he stacks combos and counters with elite quickness and reaction speed. In run defense, he's not quite as consistent. He can still improve his overall play strength when anchoring and resisting displacement, and his balance when setting the edge can be inconsistent as well. But they wouldn't be drafting him to play run defense. They'd be drafting him in year one to go get the quarterback, particularly when Bradley Chubb and Jalen Phillips are still coming off of injuries. So, you know, I think there are some medical concerns with Latu. Again, I'm no doctor, but from what I've read, he has a bit of a history medically that may have scared some teams off. But look, the same thing was said about Jalen Phillips, and the Dolphins got a steal when he fell to them because of those similar concerns. So I think in terms of pure talent, Latu is one of, if not the best pass rushers, but because of, you know, his injury history, he may slip down to the board, which could be the Dolphins' benefit.
Sure. Okay.
And one more, I think, pass rusher we should get into real quick, Chop Robinson out of Penn State. And he is more of a tweener, 6'3", a 254. He's not going to be battling with a bunch of offensive tackles in setting the edge in the run game. He's going to be playing more in space. Very, very talented player. Number 16 on the PFN big board. He was a junior out of Penn State. Here's what Ian had to say about him. Quote, Robinson's physical build is unique. He doesn't have the elite length or raw power element that many crave in top-tier edge defenders. But Robinson nevertheless wins with all kinds of different qualities, and he compensates in the power realm with his momentum generation, strength, leverage, and relentless drive. So, it's sacrilege to make any direct comparisons to Cam Wake, but certainly it's a similar profile to what we saw Wake-wise, size-wise, and motor as well. It's, I think there's a real place in the National Football League for Chop Robinson.
Cool. All right. So why don't we go back a little bit a name that we've heard a lot, you know, on social media, out in the podcasting, draft prospect podcasting, Troy Fatanu out of Washington, offensive tackle. How do you feel about Troy? I know you said you thought that he would go a little bit earlier on. So tell us a little bit.
Yeah, no, there's a wide range. And if, again, like I said, it's all depends on your personal preference. And my board certainly is very, very, very rudimentary compared to the boards that even Ian has and Deion Jeremiah and Mel Kiper's of the world. These are real true draft experts. So it's really like how you rank these guys might be more fit in what you need 2024 and beyond. And to me, Troy Fatanu is the best fit of any of these tackles that might be available in the Dolphins range. 6'4", 317. He's the number seven overall. I'm sorry, the number seven tackle on the PFN big board, 24th overall. But really what I like most about Fatanu is his versatility. He can play both inside and out, and also his ability to get to the second level. They need athletic guards for the Dolphins, you know, his own scheme to work in the running game. And I think Fatanu checks a lot of those boxes. So 6'4", 317, quote, Fatanu, this is again from Ian Cummings, has one of the more unique physical builds in the draft. He may measure in a notch under 6'4". He measured it right at 6'4". And yet he has exceptional mass and proportional length and moves very well for his size, particularly as a short area and lateral mover. If you're a, you know, outside zone running team, that's music to your ears. And I think, you know, him being able to play guard, I think he would translate to right guard in year one, and then eventually be the left tackle that replaces Teron Armstead. They gave money to Austin Jackson, right? They don't want to draft a right tackle. Sure. So that's when we talked about J.C. Latham. I think he translates more to a right tackle long term. Would you want to move Austin to the left side? I think Fatanu kind of erases those concerns. Again, it might be, you know, moot anyway because Latham will be long gone for the Dolphins are on the clock. But for my money, Fatanu has the best fit for what the Dolphins are looking for.
All right, cool. So sticking with the topic of O-line, we have a guy named Amarius Mims out of Georgia. Tell us a little bit about Mims.
Yeah, this guy is a physical freak, right? 6'7", 340. I mean, this guy should be a small forward. Well, 340 wouldn't be a small forward. He'd be a very, 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 very wide power forward, I guess.
Yeah.
Just a specimen of a human. And this is, he was the number five tackle on the PFN big board, 22nd overall. And here's the quote from Ian Cummings that I found interesting. Mims has one of the highest ceilings in the 2024 draft. At 6'7", 340, he's a dominating specimen with high-end athleticism, both in space and in short areas. And he has suffocating strength and deadly power capacity. One might expect Mims is still relatively raw, but there are a few soft skills at tackle that he already performs well. For his size, is already fairly natural, requiring maintaining leverage, getting depth on his kick, and properly aligning his base. Again, this would be a high-end, you know, swing for the fences type of pick. And, you know, if he's available at 21, he might be your best play for the Dolphins.
Yeah, sounds like a huge dude. For someone who's 5'1 and 130 pounds standing next to that guy, like, that would be crazy.
Very large man.
Yeah. All right, so our next guy is Tyler Guyton out of Oklahoma.
Yeah, 6'7", 328. He's the number six tackle on our board. Redshirt junior, so he is, I think, 22 years old now. 23 overall on the big board. He is a bit raw. One full year of starting experience at right tackle, and that does show at times. Elements like pad level, hand usage, recovery, footwork, and synergy all need further improvement. But for a high school defensive tackle with 3 years of college playing experience at tackle, he shows immense promise. So again, this is someone that you'd be betting on their upside. And Butch Berry, the Dolphins offensive line coach, did great work last year with a total patchwork offensive line. He has developed guys in a way that I think previous offensive line coaches failed for the Miami Dolphins. If you have faith that your coaching staff can get this guy to his potential, you know, his ceiling is very high for sure.
Cool. So going over to the defense, we have Jerzon Newton out of Illinois.
Yeah, you can call him Johnny. I think most people call him Johnny Newton. Jerzon Newton. Yeah. Jerzon, I believe, is how you pronounce it, his given name. 6'1", 304 pounds, I'm sorry. Defensive tackle out of Illinois, redshirt junior, so he's also 22. There's a wide range of evaluations on Newton. Ian has him higher than some. He has him as the number 14 player, regardless of position on the big board, and I think the number one defensive tackle over Byron Murphy at Texas, who we can get into in a second. Here's the evaluation. Newton won't fit the side threshold for certain roles. He can shade over the zero technique and one technique when he has more space to work, like in a speed package. But overall, he's best as a three tech and outside, which is fine because, look, they've got a nose tackle already. And Benito Jones, they need someone to play the Christian Wilkins role. And he would probably do that. Okay, so here's a further evaluation. Newton's lack of mass can be a problem against double teams, and he can be displaced by combo blocks. Still, he is a surgical disruptor in both run defense and pass defense, whose hyper-elite flexibility serves as defining and dominating trait. With his combined burst, flexibility, hand strength, and angle awareness, he's an unnaturally permeable force against a run block. So kind of a lot of the traits that you heard in Christian Wilkins, you're hearing here.
A surgical disruptor. Yep. I like it.
So, yeah, he and as I said, Byron Murphy are the two defensive tackles that are options for the Dolphins. Again, there's wide range of evaluations. We at PFN have Murphy a bit lower, 21st in the big board, I believe second defensive tackle overall. Here's the evaluation. Again, 6'1", 308, more of the three technique that we're talking about there. He sometimes gets overlooked because he played with a really good player next to him at UT in Sweat. But he is as enticing and one of the highest ceiling disruptors in 2024 NFL draft. Again, this is according to Ian Cummings. He has elite explosiveness, twitch, and energy as an edge rusher despite being 6'1 and 308. He can win pass rushing reps with his athleticism, heavy hands, and motor, and he also has incredible strength for being primarily a three tech. So that's what they need. Like, they need a three technique to replace Christian Wilkins, and I think both these guys would fit the bill.
Cool. So tell us a little bit. We talked a lot about center, you know, with Connor Williams having some injury issues, and lately, like, I saw all kinds of stuff on Twitter about, oh, Connor Williams lost 90 pounds. And like, where do these things come from, guys? So I don't know if you have heard anything, you know, truth-wise to that, but I know we do also have a good candidate in the draft at center with Jackson Powers Johnson.
Yeah, I can't speak to his weight loss. What I can say is I know that there are still questions about whether or not he'll return to football. Mm-hmm. He was hoping by the summer, so the summer's couple of months off now still to have a firmer idea of where he is physically. But if you're looking for a center in the draft, I think there really are two options. Jackson Powers Johnson out of Oregon State and Graham Barton out of Duke. Those are two. And Barton is more of a versatile guy that I believe can play some center. If you're looking for a pure center, Jackson Powers Johnson's your guy. The issue is with this is that I don't know if either of those guys are fits at 21. We've talked about maybe the Dolphins trading back. They do have, again, not a ton of draft capital. So maybe they move back from 21 to say 27, 28. If they do that, then Barton or Powers Johnson could really be in the mix. But I think those more are day two prospects. Mm-hmm. And we'll see if the Dolphins have a way to get them in the second day without overdrafting.
Sure. And if you guys need any, additional detailed information, we have the top 100 draft prospects on Pro Football
Top Network. 300, I think the big board is
top 300. Jesus. Yeah. So yeah, we have all the resources on through the PFN Network podcast and, also through the website. So, feel free to access any of that information at any time if you guys have any, you need any details.
Yeah. Yeah. No, so that was very, very quickly going through. And I think we'll go into more detail as it gets more and more clear. And we'll get, rumors as to who's visiting. Like top 30 visits really haven't been discussed much yet. So there will be a lot more information that comes out. But I think this is, the first pot of April. We kind of close the book on free agency and looking ahead to the draft because it's going to be an interesting month. Now, certainly the high end of the draft, the quarterbacks are the big day. I think Caleb Williams is a no doubt number one pick. And there's some debate whether or not number two is already locked up, but the quarterbacks are going to dominate, I'd say, the first hour and a half of the draft. The offensive tackle is going to dominate the rest of the night. Mm-hmm. And the question is, do the Dolphins jump in on that? And do they really solidify an offensive line that, while not much worse than last year, has lost two of its better players. We'll see how well they can replace them when it's all said and done.
I'm looking forward to it. I'm looking forward to going to Detroit for the first time. Mm-hmm. I have all my travel arrangements made, as I'm sure you're preparing as well. So if anyone's coming to the draft, let me know so we can hang out. I got a good group of Dolphin fans coming out.
You seem to throw parties wherever you go.
I love parties. Yeah. I throw parties. I throw, tailgates and events. I'm not really doing that for this trip. This is me just coming out to have fun. But I'd like to see my people while we're out there.
Well, we got plenty of time to promote that. 3 weeks from Thursday is the draft. You'll probably fly up there, Thursday morning, or are you going to go out Wednesday?
Yeah, we're going to go Thursday morning, so we'll be there by 9 a.m., and then all the shenanigans will begin.
All right, well, we got a lot to cover before we get to that. You're not on vacation yet, Allie.
Ooh. All right.
But I want to encourage anyone who enjoys this podcast to subscribe, to listen hard, any places you can find podcasts. That's where we are. Watch us on YouTube. YouTube traffic has been doing very well lately.
Yeah.
Not because of this face. It probably is because of that fit.
It's because of the hair. They just want to see what wig I'm wearing today. I know that's how it is. No, but it really is. It's a lot of, I'm getting a lot of really good positive feedback from this. They like this partnership, Adam. They like how knowledgeable you are. And, I've had a lot of really great feedback, guys. So please, thank you so much. Just comment, let us know what you think so far. And if there's anything in, future casts that you want to see, we're open.
All right. We will talk to you guys next week.
All righty. Fins up, guys.